right. And if you would, grab your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 26. We're going to start there, and I'm going to look at Genesis chapter 2, but we'll start in Genesis chapter 4. I want to, of course, as we started last Wednesday night on prayer, I want to talk about the beginning of prayer. If you go through the Bible and you study topics, one of the best ways to learn about something is what's called the law of the first mention. And that means, what that means is you go to where the Bible first mentions or talks about that topic. And so we're going to look at Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 26. But we'll talk, while that's a good rule of thumb, it won't work with dealing in the matter of prayer. And I want to show you why, and we're going to look at Genesis chapter 4, just because prayer existed far beyond when it was first mentioned. And so hopefully tonight that will make sense as we look at it and understand this wonderful opportunity that we have as Christians in the area of prayer, being able to go directly, the priesthood of the believer, of course, what a doctrine of the faith, of course, that we find from Scripture, that we can go directly to God and have His heart and His ear as we pray and call out to Him. And what a wonderful tool that we go through life not knowing we have to, or knowing that we don't have to go through it alone. And as we look at chapter 4, verse number 26, and it says, "And to Seth," let's back up 25, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." As you see here in verse number 26, of course, you go through chapter 5, you'll see, you'll start having the generations or the descendants of Adam, and you'll know that how old Seth was when he says in verse 8 of chapter 5, "And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." So he died at 912 years, but Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years. So when in verse 26, when it says that Seth had a son, in chapter 5, verse number 6, we see, "And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos." So he was 105 years old, as it's talked about in verse 26, when he had a son. "And it was after he had a son, then began the men to call upon the name of the Lord." So we here see first that you might think, well, this is where prayer began, when men started calling upon the name of the Lord in verse number 26 of Genesis chapter 4. But as we go through and trace where prayer began, other than just limiting ourselves to one verse and just saying, well, it was verse 26, we're going to go through the entire book of Genesis. And this might take us several weeks to go through as we talk about the beginning of prayer. But as we go through and develop a well-rounded view of prayer, maybe in its infancy as we know it, saying this is where it all started and what it's what it means to us as Christians today and what God intended prayer to be. And so with that, I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 2 to first understand where prayer began. Let's go to chapter 2, because as you look at the prayer when it's mentioned in relation to Seth in chapter 4, where they called upon the name. Actually, it was that was 200 years after the fall of man. It was much earlier than that. The first time that's mentioned that Adam spoke directly to God, and that's what prayer is, as we talk to God. It says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 23. Look there, if you would, verse number 23. It says, "And Adam said..." Now, who's Adam talking to? He's talking to God. Therefore, we have a prayer. It says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And so we see here that Adam is talking directly to God after he had woken, and God had created Eve out of his rib, out of his side. And so with that, Adam is having a conversation with God. And so the importance about this is, as you look at prayer, there's a descriptive quality in which it should be a part of our prayer life. And that is that we see here in verse 23 and 24, this is nothing more than just a conversation between Adam and God. And that's what prayer should be. It should be a conversation. And many times we go to God and we give Him our wish list. We'll just go throw our grocery list, so to speak, as saying, "Here's what I need. Okay, bye." And that is all of our prayer life. As we say, "Did you pray?" "Yep, I prayed for all the things I wanted." But yet we see here the very first prayer ever recorded in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 and 24 is a conversation with God. And we don't see Adam on his knees, with his hands clasped together, with his eyes closed tightly and his face up to the heavens as he's kneeling behind, beside his log or wherever he lay down. That's not what prayer is, as we see here. Adam is talking with the Lord, and we see God was right in front of him. And of course, we know God is everywhere. You say, "Well, Adam actually got to talk with the Lord, and when I pray, the Lord doesn't audibly speak back like He did in the days of Adam and Eve." And while that may be true, God has given us His Word, and why it's so important that we read the Word of God and we pray. But prayer is a conversation. That's what prayer is. Many times, we would joke around in the sailor ministry when I was in Bible college, and we'd have one of the sailors pray for dinner, whether or breakfast, one of the meals, and we'd always joke around by introducing the person. And usually we didn't do that to first timers that came down. We'd joke around with sailors that had been saved, and they'd come to church faithfully every week for sometimes up to a couple months. And when they were asked to pray, we'd say, "Hold on. And this is so and so, so and so. This is God. God, this is so and so. Okay, now that you've been introduced," joking around the fact that they've probably never prayed before, and some of them, you could tell the way that they were nervous and scared, probably hadn't had much practice in that. But when you introduce yourself to someone else, that is a icebreaker, so to speak, so that a conversation can pursue. Now that you know who that person is and they know who you are, and you can now converse or have a conversation. And so, there's always been a tendency for human beings to take something simple and complicate it. If you've ever looked at how-to manuals, or you've ever watched or read some manuals of how to put something together, some you get just a picture and you've got to figure it all out. Some you've got so detailed it becomes confusing. But yet, if there's a way that we can make it hard, human beings will usually find a way to take something that's very simple and make it very complicated. And so we see here, even when it comes to prayer, that people, boy, they'll complicate it to make themselves look a whole lot smarter so that other people can't understand it to the world or to a baby Christian. If someone gets up, oh, Lord, and boy, they just go and they wax and thinking that wax eloquent, that their prayer has to be something built up in years and years of Bible study and Bible college. But yet prayer is a conversation. Anyone can carry, well, almost anyone, but most people can just carry on a conversation. And that's what our prayer life should be. We should be comfortable in praying, I don't mind this. I understand why people do. When I'm over at someone's house, or I'm at a party, or I'm out somewhere, and there's going to be kind of time to pray. Usually, because there's a meal, everyone will look to me and say, "Pastor, why don't you pray?" And I understand, of course, they're giving respect to the position of pastor. But there's times when we're as ready to eat, and someone else say, "All right, I'm going to pray," and I love that. I think everyone should be so comfortable talking with God that it's not awkward. Sometimes people say, "Well, if I pray, the pastor's here." I hopefully that you're comfortable talking to the Lord. Hopefully it's a part of your life and you're saying, let's just pick up where we left off, because that's prayer should be a continual conversation with the Lord. Anyone, you watch the little Ratatouille cartoon anyone can cook. Well, as a pastor, anyone can pray. A lost person can call upon the Savior to be saved. Anyone can pray. As a 4-year-old boy, I prayed and trust Christ as my personal Savior. And anyone can pray to the Lord. And so with that, it's a conversation. Sometimes we think, oh, prayer, you've got to, especially to the lost or to a brand new baby Christian, say, "Well, I just don't know how to pray." Do you know how to carry on a conversation? That's what prayer is. And prayer was never intended to be difficult because as God intended it, it was never supposed to be viewed that way. But prayer is a type of fellowship. And that should be a comfortable form of being able to, you usually will carry on a conversation more comfortably with those in which you fellowship with. When I went to my brother's church and had the opportunity to preach on Sunday night just a couple weeks ago for my niece's wedding, there was some, of course, being saved, I have something in common. My brother's the pastor, I have something in common. And I was able to carry on a conversation with a few people there, but it's nothing like those in which I fellowship and having a conversation with people here. Prayer is a type of fellowship. It should be something in which we're comfortable with. Genesis chapter 5. Let's look over there. Genesis chapter 5, and let's look at verse number 21. Genesis 5:21 says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch was there one day, and by that night he was gone, because God took him. And of course, we know the story of Enoch, and I'm not going to get into that completely, but let me just help you understand. Not only was prayer designed as a conversation, it's kind of hard to have a conversation when only one person's doing all the talking, isn't it? A conversation is meant for there to be some speaking and then some listening and some speaking and some listening. But as a view, as a man's a means for man and God to spend time together. The Bible tells us God is a jealous God. He's jealous of our time. He's jealous of the things in which we go and spend the time doing or entertaining other than spending time with Him. When we don't read our Bibles, when we don't spend that time in prayer like we normally do, or we get out of that routine, or we miss a day. Boy, God is a jealous God. He looks forward to, just like I remember when I thought of this afternoon when me and my wife were not married. We were dating and courting in college. I remember looking forward to lunch. Now, I remember looking forward to lunch just because that's obvious. But I remember looking forward to lunch because a lot of my classes throughout college were not the same classes my wife was taking, especially when she was student teaching, and she was at the other high school teaching English, and I was there at the college, and I didn't get the opportunity to see her very often. But I looked forward to those times that we could spend together and to talk together and to spend that time together. Prayer is a time that we can spend with God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Now, that means literally he walked with God, and there's no reason why that this verse cannot be taken literally here, that God and Enoch walked together, but they were alongside of each other while conversing, a two-way conversation. And again, it's not just going to, our prayer life should not consist of just going to God and giving Him our wish list or our grocery list of all the things. Here, Lord, this is what I need, this is what I need, this is what I need. Okay, amen and bye. That prayer life should be a conversation with God. And in that, understanding that prayer is not nonstop talking on our part. Part of our prayer life should be learning how to linger in God's presence. Yes, there's asking of God. Yes, there's praising the Lord. Yes, there's the things in which we should do. But in our conversation with God, do we ever stop in our prayer life and the time that we're spending with the Lord and just stop and meditate? And think about what we're asking. Think about what God has done. But simply how to meditate. And Brother Hiles in his blue denim and lace wrote about the importance of meditation. Something I believe that we in our busy lives have not followed. As Timothy and others were instructed in Scripture to, and even Paul said, think on these things. What is that? Meditating. Now, of course, I know we hear that word, and it's a word that's not taught much because we think meditation, we think of, you know, some person out on the beach, you know, on a pile of stones, you know, acting all weird and something crazy or berserk. But in our daily life, where there's so much clamoring for our attention, there's, you know, everything maybe through Facebook or social media or through everybody. Sometimes, you know, I've looked at my wife or my kids. I said, I wish I could throw this phone in the pool or throw it out because it just won't stop ringing some days. And there's other times when you just think at work, everything is just clamoring. You drive down the road. You know why there's so many billboards? Because they're trying to clamor for your attention. Many times you'll be thinking about something, then you'll, you know, things just constantly grabbing for your attention. And that is when we pray with God. Our prayer should be a type of fellowship like Enoch had. Even David in Psalms, he talked about the importance that he meditated. And so with that, it's a two-way conversation. So with that, part of our prayer life needs to be, and I'll just put it bluntly, where we just sit back, shut up, and let God speak to our hearts. And so instead of just constantly talking, you ever had a conversation with an individual personality that just can't stop talking? Now, I know my wife has always been surprised that God called me to be a pastor because the personality of me, I would probably say nothing throughout my whole life if it wasn't for the bare minimum of conversation. I remember even as a teenager, we'd be in the car driving to school. Well, my mom would be driving to school. I'd be in the passenger seat, and she'd say, okay, how was your day? You know, she'd say, okay, let's play an imaginary game. I've thrown the ball to you as a question. Now throw it back. And so she tried to get me to respond because as a teenager, I just wanted to sleep. But as going through life, you ever talked with someone, they'll ask you a question, you go to answer them, but before you can even, you know, they'll ask you, well, how was your day? Well, it was, and they've already gone on to their next question. They're just going to keep talking. And you just, after a while, you just sit back and say, well, I'm just going to let you carry on the conversation. That's not a conversation, but a conversation is a two-way street there. And one of the most touching scenes in the Bible in Job's three friends initially is that they came to his aid. Of course, they thought they were doing what was right. But before they opened their mouths and ruined it all, they came and they sat with Job. They had heard of the devastation that was going through Job's life and that what had befallen him. So they came to his presence. They came where he was and they joined him in his misery. Not many friends will want to join you in your misery. You know, we do bash those three friends, and of course, rightly, they messed up along the way. But we see their intent was to let Job know they were thinking of him, cared for him, and they came, and they sat there saying nothing for 7 days. Then in Job chapter 16, verse 2, then they became miserable comforters when they began to talk that they proved themselves to be miserable. But understanding that part of our prayer life should be that fellowship, that just spending time with the Lord. One of the reasons, and I want to say it's the only reason I enjoy mowing the yard. I don't enjoy the heat. I don't enjoy the bumps. I don't enjoy, mowing the grass every week, especially at the house, the cemetery, and here. But I do enjoy the time that I can meditate on what the Lord is doing in my life, what the Lord is doing in the lives of those in our church, and spending that time praying for others in the church. And I enjoy that time that there's nothing else clamoring or clawing for my attention. I can drive in a straight line in the mower without thinking much about it. So it kind of comes second nature, and before you know it, I'm done, and I'm thinking, wow, that went fast. And I enjoy that because I enjoy the time of meditation. And part of our learning how to linger in the Lord's presence, sometimes not saying anything, simply learn how to meditate and think about the Lord. There's a lot in Scripture about it. And I believe we miss the mark a lot of areas in our life as we live in a very busy, busy, busy world, where we go from one thing to another. And many times we've trained ourselves and our minds to that, to even our children nowadays. You know, the TV can't go on, or, you know, I will say, okay, no TV today. And it's like you just see their whole world just exploded thinking, what are we going to do? We're going to have to go play outside. Or, boy, we're going to have to read a book. Or we're going to have to entertain ourselves. And, boy, we live in a society that we don't know what to do when we're not just constantly going from one thing to another. But part of the Christian life is stopping and thinking on what the Lord is doing in your life, thinking about verses, meditating on Scripture. Of course, the verses that maybe you read earlier that day, going through the day, thinking on them. As there is a large part of our prayer life that should be a fellowship with God, spending time with the Lord, more than just going into our prayer closet for 60 seconds, giving the Lord a list of all the things we want, and leaving for the day. It's a part of fellowship. As we pray, we should pray without ceasing. It should be something that never stops that conversation, that fellowship throughout the day. Sometimes we just need to turn the televisions off. We need to turn the, you know, there's times that I'm mowing. I love listening to Audible and I love listening to history books. Right now I'm reading a book about the Six-Day War in Israel back in the 60s and 70s and how that all came to be. And just fascinating how Israel whooped three armies in just a few days. Fascinating. And now, of course, I know the Lord was in that and the Lord has promised, you know, bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And of course, we see that evident. Going through and reading that in history, I love listening to that, especially while I'm working or mowing the yard. Sometimes I'll just turn the radio off or I'll just turn it off and just write and just nothing at all. Because I want to let the Lord speak to me. There's got to be that time that we fellowship where sometimes we don't say anything. Part of our prayer life. Well, if we can mature enough to where we don't fall asleep after 30 seconds of praying for the things we want, let alone just spending time with God in that prayer closet, simply learning how to meditate or to think about God. You know, meditation is one of those things that stirs love. It stirs up love. When I stop and I think about the day I got married, or I start to think about all the things my wife does for me and for my family, and of course all the laundry and the cleaning throughout the years, boy, that stirs up emotion, that stirs up love. When I stop, especially at the Lord's Supper, as we're going to have here soon, and we're going to have to try to do things just a little bit different than how we can do it with social distancing and the COVID, but we're going to have the Lord. I love the Lord's Supper. Why? Because it makes me stop and think about what the Lord did on the cross of Calvary. And as Christ said, as oft as you do, do this in remembrance of me, as we are to remember the Lord. You know, as you stop and you meditate on things, it will stir your heart up. You say, well, I don't know what's wrong with me. I have no passion for souls, or I have no passion for this. I have no passion for that. Maybe because we're not spending any time meditating on those things in the scriptures that are to guide us and direct us in the life of as a Christian for those things. Maybe we struggle with that love for God because we never spend any time with Him. It'd be hard for me to have a strong bond and a love for my wife if I never spend any time with her. And the time we did spend together, I just gave her 5 minutes of a list of all the things I want her to do, and then I leave. That's not going to be much of a relationship. And we wonder why we struggle through this life when everything else is clamoring for our attention and for our time. But yet, God's there waiting and wanting that relationship and that prayer to grow like it did in the life of Enoch. Boy, if there was a Bible character that I could be, Enoch would be one of, if not the top one, one of the top three. To think, wow, I would love to be able to have that relationship to where God just says, you know what? Why don't you just come up here and be with me? What a no greater testimony could say to have said of us in our walk with God. And prayer, as we look at the beginning, we'll see what prayer is all about and what it is. And prayer is a fellowship with God. Maybe we just need to. Now, if you're watching online, don't take me literally and say, well, the preacher said, turn the TV off or turn the phone off. Wait till after we're done. And just a few seconds, you'll get your wish. Maybe we just need to turn everything off and say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to spend some time with you. Lord, here's my list. Yeah, I want to praise you for these things. I want to thank you for these things. And just spend some time thinking about what God's done in your life. You know, when you stop and you think about your salvation, the day you got saved, boy, it starts to stir up excitement. It starts to stir up joy. I believe we need to do that in our prayer life, spending time with God, sometimes not saying anything, but learning how to meditate and think about Him. And maybe, just maybe, that soft, still voice of the Holy Spirit, God will speak to us, guide us, and direct us as we go through this this journey of life. I hope that our prayer life, God has called His house a house of prayer. Prayer is so important, but as the modern day Christian, it's one of the last things we revert to. We'll go to the doctor first. We'll go to the Visa card first. We'll go to everything else first before we go and pray. And almost like, has it come to that? And how sad it is that that's the case. But prayer, God should be the first one we run to when facing a problem, when facing a challenge. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and close. Dear Lord,